Good afternoon. I'm here to share a project that we're awfully proud of in South Carolina called Connecting Smiles, and want to briefly just give acknowledgments to my collaborators. Mary Kenyon Jones and Christine Viscusio are fantastic partners of ours representing our state's public health agency as well as our state's dental association. Joni Nelson is also a collaborator. She is a doctoral student at the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina, specifically in the South Carolina Rural Health Research Center. And then, of course, myself. And just to add to the confusion, I have two academic homes. Thank you for the kind introduction, and certainly down in Charleston at the Medical University is my primary home. But for the last 10 years, I have belonged to the South Carolina Rural Health Research Center at USC, and the director, Dr. Jan Probst, is here with us today. And it's through that institution that we leverage some resources from the DentaQuest Foundation to implement Connecting Smiles, which is the shorthand title for the very long one on this first slide. And so I'm excited to share with you what we've accomplished with our funding, and just to acknowledge that we had no financial relationships in the preparation of today's presentation. Just quickly about the two organizations I represent. The Rural Health Research Center is one of only seven Rural Health Research Centers funded by HRSA's Office of Rural Health Policy. It's the only one that focuses on health disparities. My new home down in Charleston, we have formed a new division of population health where we are revamping and retooling curricula for the dental students down there, specifically developing new courses in public health and safety net dental practice, as well as developing some really wonderful safety net-based research programs. And finally, I'm just so encouraged by the new collaborations I have found down in Charleston. We're working aggressively on translational efforts to take some of the innovations we've seen in practice and not just get them out of the university setting into private practice, but specifically into underserved and safety net communities. So what I'll share with you today, again, is some of the work we've done with Connecting Smiles, and specifically this is an initiative that leveraged two important policies in our state, one federal policy, one state policy. Can I see a show of hands of if I say the acronym MCV, you know what I'm talking about, Maternal, Infant, and Early Childhood Home Visitation Programs. So I'll spend a breath telling you a little bit about that. MCV is a very sizable program that was created through the Affordable Care Act that basically creates infrastructure that's funded through HRSA's Maternal and Child Health Bureau to equip communities with home visitation programs to address unmet needs of very young children. Basically, we're talking about strengthening the early childhood system through evidence-based home visitation curricula such as nurse-family partnership, healthy steps, and healthy families. We at the South Carolina Rural Health Research Center are the state evaluators of that important policy, and so we totally exploited our role and took advantage of the opportunities that that important role gave us. And I will briefly mention in just a few moments a state policy that we found that we could respond to with the DentaQuest dollars. But just to give you some context of South Carolina, these are the whole county dental HPSAs nationally, but these are the persistent designations. So these are counties who have been whole county HPSAs from 2009 to 2012, and you see in our state what lights up is what we call our poverty corridor of I-95, and you name the public health issue, and that is what lights up. So shortages of all sorts of providers, as well as diabetic epidemics, children's special health care needs, lots and lots of critical public health priorities seem to really be apparent in this area. And I will say one of the more frightening statistics that I learned upon my arrival to Charleston, which is our state's only dental school, of 74 graduates last year, 22 opted to go into the military because of debt. So we are doing a horrible job in our state of graduating and keeping our folks, and certainly we're not getting them into our underserved communities. We have 46 counties in South Carolina, 44 are dental HPSAs, whether they be partial or whole county, and of those, half of them are actually low-income designations and not geographic. So I mentioned the state policy that Connecting Spiles is responsive to. This is a nice piece of legislation. We in South Carolina don't really like laws. It's not that we're not law-abiding, but we see policy as a lever of last resort. So we like to get things accomplished more in collaborative spirits, and then and only then will we have to engage policymakers, do we? We had a successful run of funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation from 2002 to 2006, where we learned an awful lot on successful patient navigation for early childhood systems, particularly for oral health. So what came out of that was a piece of legislation led by the staunch advocacy of our dental association in 2010 that called basically for the creation of a network of community oral health coordinators who would be employed through our state's public health agency. And, of course, the legislation is long and comprehensive and fabulous and no dollars appropriated for it. So that's always fun. So that put our public health agency in a bit of a pickle because, of course, they have a number of legislative priorities, each of which they really have to spend their due diligence determining what they're willing to go the mat on in terms of requesting dollars. But what was really neat about this legislation is it starts small and it calls and challenges those of us in the state who care about safety net and dental practice to start small and focus on 3 to 5 underserved counties and pilot test a COHC model. So we engaged some pretty important key stakeholders, including the philanthropic community, each of which told us laws were written to be rewritten. You sense the culture and trend in our state. So they said, don't do what's written, do what you think is right. So what we attempted to do, given what the legislation called for, given the opportunity that positioned itself through McVee, juxtaposed against the political will of both the funding community as well as public health, we sort of deconstructed the COHC model. So there's many different organizations that have defined community oral health coordination in specific ways. What we decided to do is to stop thinking about it in terms of a person and start thinking about it in terms of competencies. So we applied for funding from the DentaQuest Foundation, got it, and what we did with those dollars is we used the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's Breakthrough Series as a quality improvement tool. Fortunately, we were already using the Breakthrough Series to improve the quality, improve the way that we deliver home visitation programs in our state anyhow. So that provided a great change and culture of quality improvement in our McVee sites, but that also gave us the opportunity to integrate community oral health coordination competencies through that platform. So we engaged one particular site that was serving 5 different counties in the Upper Savannah River region of our state, and we partnered with the home visitors in particular and had representations from the different curricula that they were using and integrated competencies using a variety of curriculum that we had already been using in our state. We also focused on oral health interprofessionalism. So we knew that given those shortages, that the way we were going to meet some unmet need for little kids, 0 to 3, was going to be leveraging primary care, asking them to do what was within their scope of practice, but certainly be an important partner and an important ambassador on helping us meet our goals. The third piece was public health systems development. Our state's public health agency has restructured. They have standardized their staffing models and service delivery in each of the 4 regions in our state. Part of that is something called a community systems liaison, which is basically an air traffic controller at the local level for each of the regions. So we need to impart the importance of oral health and how that is central to good public health for our state. And then finally, sustainability, working through the business models. We're lucky in that we have a fantastic relationship, not just with the foundation, but the DentaQuest Institute. And I can't say enough positive things about my good friend Mark Doherty, who is head of SafetyNet Solutions, and he's been helping us take what we've learned through this and replicate it statewide in other community health centers, WIC programs, and other places where small children receive case management services. So for the purposes of the foundation, we had some specific goals. We had system-level goals that had to do with increasing access to care for kids, both at the dental office as well as the primary care office, improving the systems knowledge, all the touch points that children find themselves, whether they be child care centers or those home visitation programs, having an improved knowledge of oral health and a sense of empowerment around oral health. And then there were specific person-level goals, certainly looking at increasing preventive dental utilization for the 0-3 population, receipt of fluoride varnish through their medical homes, decreasing early childhood caries and related treatments. And then the one that I have italicized, which is the one I'm going to share with you today, is that improvement in parents' perceived value of oral health, which is really has been a significant challenge for us. Because one of our primary customers and a significant funder of our initiative is our state Medicaid program, we are constantly trying to package and show relevance for our work to Medicaid. So we framed our deliverables around the triple aim. Certainly reduction in early childhood caries gets us towards that population health milestone. The improved care experience, trying to get kids into the dentist by their first birthday, and making sure that those who have the risk get those fluoride varnish treatments, and then finally having a positive impact on what it costs to take care of the 0-3 population. What a lot of folks often miss about the triple aim, however, is that Berwick was very clear that these are three important points, but you have to have an integrator. So as it relates to this, for the family, we feel like that integrator is the home visitor who's adopting these newfound competencies. On the broader level, at the state stage, the grantee for McVie is our state's quasi-agency. It's part nonprofit, part state agency that's tasked with early childhood systems development. They absolutely understand school readiness, abuse and neglect, medical, dental, the entire child's experience, and how interrelated all of this is. So we see them as the integrator around early childhood systems in our state. So we're using a mixed, let me go back just a minute, we're using a mixed methods approach as we evaluate all the goals and objectives of Connecting Smiles. We have built, as a part of the broader McVie project, a state-based data collection system that's web-based that gets at the 36 benchmarks that Congress is holding us accountable to measuring. Oddly enough, none of them were oral health. Oral health is new to McVie. So in these curricula, it's school readiness, it's abuse and neglect, it's family employment and financial literacy. It's everything you could possibly imagine except oral health. So this gave us our opportunity. So we have our primary data collection instrument, which is our web-based data collection tool for all the McVie sites. We are linking this important primary data collection over to our Medicaid claims so that we have a sense of how self-report and home visitor observations are translating into actual utilization of services. But for the oral health piece, we felt very strongly we needed a qualitative piece as well, certainly as we explore what we hope is a positive shift in parental perceptions in terms of how they value oral health and how they value that relationship with their home visitor. So we engaged 12 home visitors through the Carolina Health Center's FQHC and 24 parents that they were serving. We gave them cameras and we asked them a series of questions to sort of explore behavior change, knowledge change, and attitudinal change. So we gave them a week to answer some questions, and we brought them back together at a routine time, and we did two separate focus groups. We sort of corridored off the home visitors from the parents and had some rich dialogue facilitated by the photos that folks took. So the questions that they had to answer with their cameras, for the home visitors, we wanted to get a better sense from them the challenges that they were experiencing in meeting the oral health needs of the kids that they were trying to serve. Secondly, we wanted to hear what was working well. Remember, this all started based off of a paradigm of quality improvement. So this is in the spirit of the IHI Breakthrough Series. So what was working well? And then finally, what has success looked like across the portfolio of care settings, whether it be in the home, the physician's office, the dental office, the WIC office, wherever? And then for the parents, we had 5 asks of them. We wanted them to take pictures of what comes to mind when you think of your child's teeth, their mouth, their little gums. Number 2, take a picture of what you do or rather what makes it difficult for you to take care of your child's mouth. The 3rd is before and after. What has changed for you relative to caring for your child's mouth? And then what specifically did you take away from your home visitor? So clearly I don't have enough time to go through all of the pictures that we went through, so I'm going to just jump to the punchline on what successes look like for home visitors and then what our families are telling us life looks like for them after working with their home visitors. So the good news is lots of good behavior change. So parents have a better sense of diet. Don't go to bed with that sippy cup full of juice. Dilute that juice. How to take care of kids' teeth, the right questions to ask for. They understand water fluoridation. We got lots and lots of good feedback. There were some interesting observations that I did want to just point out. One parent said, "My home visitor gave me reading material and helped me become more patient." I know I'm not a young mother, but I'm a mother of a young child. I could use a dose of patience myself. After a few long talks with my home visitor and reading a lot, I learned that my baby responded very well to the vibrating toothbrush. So this picture shows that very toothbrush we learned with, and a brochure similar to the hundreds I've read. So that was a positive and we might want to tailor some of the materials we're putting in front of them. But basically what we walked away from was a positive proof of concept. We saw lots of positive thematic agreements between the home visitors and the parents relative to their perceived value, change in daily home-taking behaviors. But it also revealed some critical opportunities for improvement relative to the external system that these families find themselves receiving services. So, first of all, it still remains a very difficult challenge in getting the 0-3 population seen in rural South Carolina. We don't have pediatric dentists in this one service area. We had one. If you're on Medicaid in our state, you can't get into a pediatric dentist. You just can't. And then the general folks will not see the 0-3 population. So it was frustrating for the home visitors and the parents. We're changing values, changing attitudes, but they're both frustrated at the challenges that they're experiencing getting into a system of care and getting that first dental visit. The other piece, and my husband has joined me today so he can appreciate this, we left a really critical partner out of this, and that is the family member who is providing child care. We are 2 parents, but our son is being raised by 5. We have 3 parents who are very involved, sometimes to not their invitation. And what we heard from parents is, "I do everything you tell me to, but I only see my baby from 6 p.m. at night to 7:30 a.m. the next day, and my mother has already said, you were raised fine this way, I'm not changing my behavior." So moving forward, we actually have to train the entire family and not just the parent dyad. The policy and practice takeaways, as my friend here is poking me, clearly we have demonstrated that it takes very little effort. If you do it right, if you use quality improvement techniques, it takes very little effort to demonstrate that this is an important part of early childhood home visitation curricula. So our revolution we're plotting in South Carolina, and sign up if you want to join, is to matriculate this to curriculum changes up at the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. The system change piece continues to plague us. We have a great partnership with the DentaQuest Institute, and we're hoping we're going to really grow and change how the system responds to the home visitors and the families they serve. And I'm done. Yes.
You're done.